Hi, everyone. Dr. Cheryl Selman here, and you are listening to What Women Must Know. So thank you for joining me today for another wonderful conversation we're going to be having, exploring a topic that is really so important. It's so much in the news these days and absolutely relevant for your health and well-being. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're joining me today. I want to invite everyone who is listening for the first time to go over to my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com, because you will get some very special free reports waiting for you and lots of other information that I send out from time to time that's educational. You know, this show is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And while nobody can tell you what to do, you need to get all the facts so you make the choices that would serve you and your family the best. So I try to do that to the best of my ability, bringing in the most informed and educated people on various topics. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that is really popular these days. You probably have heard the term microbiome a lot. It's on various special TV programs. It's in the news, in magazines, online, all over the place. We're talking about the microbiome. And while it is a really profound topic, it often leaves many of us kind of confused. What is this microbiome thing? When we talk about probiotics, when we talk about the health of our gut, sounds good, but we don't really have all the facts. And we're going to give you the facts today. We're going to give you an opportunity to really get educated about your digestive system, your kind of up close and personal visit with your small intestine, with your large intestine. We're going to talk about probiotics. We're going to explain what microorganisms live where in your gut and why. But most importantly, we're going to help you get solutions for those conditions that are becoming very prevalent now, like small intestinal overgrowth, bacterial overgrowth, IBS, constipation, candida, all sorts of gut issues that are plaguing the population. So it's a really important show because, as you will learn, the microbiome and the health of your gut and the right species of these microorganisms are responsible for all aspects of our health, physical as well as emotional and mental. I'd probably even throw in spiritual there as well. And to help us explore this important topic, and as we dive into the world of the microbiome, as our guide today is Randy Perupkin, who in 1975 received his master's degree in biochemistry from the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Then he has worked in food and agriculture microbiology for the past 30 years. And Mr. Perupkin has designed and built fermentation facilities around the world, conducting business in over 30 countries, and has authored numerous publications and patents. In 2002, he founded Master Supplements Incorporated, and the corporation's mission is to research naturally occurring symbiotic, probiotic microorganisms and bioactive prebiotics and develop high-potency nutraceutical products based on this research. Well, we're going to help you understand what all of this is about, and to enlighten us on the subject, it's my pleasure to welcome Randy Perupkin to the show today. Hello, Randy.
Hi, Dr. Selman. How are you doing?
I am so good, and it's great having you on the show. You've been on the show several times before, and I love having you on the show, Randy, because I always learn so much, and you are such a wealth of information about the world of probiotic health, the prebiotic support, and all the conditions that can benefit when we have the right microorganisms in our digestive tract. So I'm looking forward to a great conversation with you.
Me too. You know, when you do something for 40 years, you do have a tendency to learn a few things about it.
Yeah, I think we have to update your bio. We have to take it up to 40 years now that you've been in this field, which makes you a real pioneer. And, you know, I would say someone who's ahead of his time, because this is really the hot topic these days in the field of natural medicine, natural healing, integrative medicine, functional medicine, whatever you want to call it. Everyone is talking about the microbiome. Even mainstream media is talking about the microbiome these days.
Right. Well, you know, it all started with cheese cultures and fermentation cultures for vegetables like sauerkraut and products like yogurt. If you go back to the 1970s, there were no probiotics in capsules for people to take. You know, they had to eat fermented foods, which helped somewhat, but nothing like what these new modern supplements can do today, because there's the strains that are in these new supplements, the bacterial strains, the probiotic strains, are completely different than the food fermentation cultures that we had many years ago, which are still in use, by the way. Because the probiotic strains can actually stick and colonize in the intestinal tract.
Right. So we're really evolving in our understanding of our microbiome and then being able to find the right strains that can help us. You know, I was really looking forward to having you on the show, because I do want to get this whole big story together here so people understand. And I guess we can begin by defining microbiome, and then I thought we could take a little journey down our intestinal tract, and you can guide us in what goes on in what part of our digestive tract, and what's found there, what type of microorganisms, what conditions go on if we're not correct, and just kind of set the scene as we then can go into more solutions and this the proper strains. Okay?
Well, let me start. Let's imagine that we're doing something very simple that most of us do every day. Let's say we're eating a piece of bread. And we bite off a piece of bread and we start chewing it in our mouth. That's the beginning of our digestive system, believe it or not. There's an enzyme in our saliva called amylase, which digests starches. And maybe we only chew for a minute or so before we swallow, but there's some digestion already taking place. So when that piece of bread enters the stomach, goes down the esophagus, enters into the stomach, digestion continues. You've got stomach acid and pepsin, the enzyme pepsin, which starts digesting proteins, which in the case of bread would be, if it's wheat bread, would be the gluten in the wheat bread. So that goes on in the stomach for maybe an hour, hour and a half, depending on the individual. And then that partially digested material from the stomach, which we biochemists call chyme, C-H-Y-M-E, empties into the small intestine. And the first part of the small intestine is called the duodenum. So far we're an hour, hour and a half into the process, just getting started. In the duodenum, now we get some real serious issues in terms of digestion and absorption. The pancreas secretes enzymes, the liver and the gallbladder secrete bile, and a whole bunch of things start happening to further digest that piece of bread. So amino acids come off of the proteins. Sugars come off of the starches. Fatty acids come off of the fats. And for the most part, those get absorbed as nutrients. And that's what feeds us. By the time, it takes about 6 hours to get through the small intestine. And there's three sections of the small intestine, the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum. The ileum is the last section. By the time you get down there, most of the nutrients in the bread have been absorbed or utilized. And then you got this valve called the ileocecal valve, which connects the large intestine, which is also called the colon, with the small intestine. The bread digest then moves into the large intestine, where it becomes waste. It's dewatered, the water's taken away, and a stool is formed. And it roughly takes about a day for that to happen. Now, while that's all going on, we've got trillions, literally trillions, it's been estimated at 100 trillion, live microorganisms helping us play this game that live in the intestinal tract. Most of them, we don't even know their names. That's the microbiome. The microbiome is the complexity of microorganisms that live in and on our bodies, totality of those. Most of them are in the digestive system. In the greater than 90% are in the intestinal tract. So those are the ones we're going to focus on today. But without those microorganisms, this smooth transition from that little piece of bread to digested matter that feeds us to waste matter that's then eliminated wouldn't be such a simple, straightforward process. In fact, when I first started my career, we did studies with germ-free or what we call notobiotic animals, white rats, lab rats, for example, that were raised under sterile conditions that had no microbiome. They were sterile. And believe me, they could not digest their food properly, and they were not healthy. So we have to rely on our microbiome to be healthy. So what happens when the microbiome goes out of balance, which we call dysbiosis, D-Y-S-B-I-O-S-I-S, dysbiosis. Get used to hearing that, because that term is going to be used quite frequently now when you start hearing the term microbiome. This is an imbalance where the bad bacteria outnumber the good bacteria. Mostly bacteria we're talking about, by the way, in these microorganisms. There are some yeasts, there are some fungi, but for the most part, it's bacteria. And we want the good bacteria, not the bad bacteria, to dominate. So when dysbiosis happens, you've got the bad bacteria dominating. Now, there's two broad categories of dysbiosis. Clinical and subclinical. Clinical, you know it. Imagine we're away from the bread right now. We're at a picnic on a summer day, a warm July afternoon, and there's potato salad on the menu, and it's warm. And it's got salmonella growing in it. By the way, that's the first piece of advice today. Don't eat warm potato salad ever. When the salmonella gets into your system, you know it within an hour or less. You've got nausea, then vomiting, then severe diarrhea. There's no question that that's dysbiosis, and you need to get on antibiotics and get some treatment. That's clinical. Subclinical is when you have these little imbalances where the bad bugs are slightly ahead of the good bugs. We like to call these bacteria bugs. And you got some indigestion, some gas maybe right after eating, low energy in the afternoon. Doctors, if you go to a doctor and tell him that, he's going to say, you've got IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, which is kind of a catch-all for something they can't really explain, or they don't really know what's happening. If you don't do something, and this is what most of us are talking about today, if you don't do something about those subclinical dysbiosis conditions, they're going to turn into something worse. IBS will turn into IBD, inflammatory bowel disease. And that's where ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, diverticulitis, C. diff, all those things come into play. You don't want that to happen. So probiotics are specific types of good bacteria that can rebalance the microbiome and keep it to where the good guys are in charge of the bad guys. I can't say it any more simply than that. We want to have the good bacteria dominating, and we can do that by taking a modern probiotic.
So before we delve into this even more deeply and look at the kind of microorganisms that are in the small intestine, the kind that are in the large, I want to point out, and I think this is a really important point for people to hear, is that if you have bloating, if you have pain after eating, if you have gas, if you are feeling any heaviness, discomfort after you eat, these are signs that you have most likely some kind of dysbiosis going on. There is some imbalance in your gut. They are not to be ignored, nor are they to be medicated, because it still will not resolve the imbalance of the proper microorganisms that support your health. Do you want to say anything further about that, Randy?
Sure. Well, let's use some names. I mean, we can't do this conversation without a few big bug names.
Okay.
When you're out of balance in your small intestine, you've got too many enterococci, too many E. coli. These are in a big group called the proteobacteria, and they're dominating. Some of them are tolerable. Many of them are not. And when they go out of whack, we call it SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO, happens right after the stomach. And you've got gas right after eating. You've got severe indigestion or any various degrees of indigestion, depending on how severe the infection. You can correct that by taking large quantities of Lactobacillus acidophilus, Lactobacillus paracasei, Lactobacillus rhamnosus, to just mention three of the most well-renowned probiotic bacteria. And almost all good probiotics are going to have those three and probably some more. We'll get into that in a little while. But they produce lactic acid, which is a very weak food acid, but it's strong enough to prevent these E. coli and these enterococci from taking over. And it'll actually reduce their numbers. So that's what happens when you start to go out of balance in the small intestine. Now, in the large intestine, which is a whole different world, the small intestine, you got some air, because when you're eating, believe it or not, you swallow air. Air's got oxygen in it. So the type of bacteria that live in the small intestine can tolerate some oxygen or some air. That's not the case with the bacteria in the colon or the large intestine. Truly anaerobic down there, which means no oxygen, no air. So you got a whole different eco-community. You got Bacteroides, you got Fusobacteria, and you got Bifidobacteria. They're the good guys. And you want the Bifidobacteria in the large intestine to dominate. Now, there's also some good bacteria that are outside of the Bifidobacteria and the Lactobacillus genera. Call those genuses or genera. But many of them, we don't know their names. We're just starting to identify them now with new genetic techniques. Back when we had to do everything on a Petri dish, we were limited to what would grow outside the body on a Petri dish. Today, we're not limited like that anymore. We've got techniques that allow the microbiome to be dissected and analyzed, genetic techniques, where we can take a stool sample and from little pieces of the DNA from the various bacteria, we can magnify those pieces by a process called PCR, put them in a machine that measures what bacteria they were to begin with. It's quite amazing, actually. That's one of the reasons why you're hearing so much about the microbiome today, is we can actually start to study it at a level of detail that we could never do before. When I was out right out of the university working with these cultures, we call them cultures, it's when you grow bacteria in a flask or an agar in a Petri dish, it's a culture. We didn't have any of these genetic techniques. So we've come a long way with being able to identify what's going on in the microbiome. Just as a comparison, the human body only contains somewhere around 10 trillion body cells, if you count up all our cells. Some people argue it's a little more than that. So let's say 10 trillion. We're talking about 100 trillion microbial cells in our digestive system. So the bacteria have us by 10 to 1. So not to think about them and not to wonder about how you can benefit from improving their ratios and their relationships is very naive today, because everybody needs to be concerned about how they can benefit their microbiome. And there's a lot we can say about that, Cheryl.
Yeah, and I think we need to just talk about all the benefits of the microbiome. And before we do that, I just want you to go in and explain what the role of those anaerobic bacteria, the healthy, the good ones that live in the large intestine, are doing. What's their role in
sure.
the process of digestion?
Well, their number one role when everything's working right is to keep you regular. So you have one or two bowel movements a day. no strain, no diarrhea, no constipation. Perfect regularity is their mission. And when you have a good balance, I can give you the two big groups. When you have a good balance between the Bacteroides and the bifidobacteria probiotics, you're a regular person. And by having regularity, you're also having an innate detox mechanism working. Because when you don't have the right microbes in the large intestine, you could possibly be reabsorbing some toxins that were in your food that your body's been trying to detoxify, but they're now being reabsorbed because you got the wrong bacteria. And, you know, you explained this real well in your book, Hormone Heresy, when you talked about the glucuronic acid cycle in the liver. I don't want to get too chemical with everybody, but what you explained there was very important because it talked about how excess estrogen could be eliminated from the body. Also, a toxin like glyphosate, like Roundup, which is extremely toxic, gets bound by this molecule you talked about in your book, glucuronic acid. It's an escort agent is what it is. Liver makes it. Some toxin that was in your food goes to the liver, gets attached to the glucuronic acid, gets distributed into the intestinal tract via the bile system, and then eliminated in the bowel movement. Providing you don't have the wrong flora in your colon. If you've got the wrong type of bacteria, like the wrong type of Clostridia bacteria, they make an enzyme which digests the glucuronic acid and releases the toxin in your large intestine where it's reabsorbed. It's not eliminated in the bowel movement, it's reabsorbed. You explained that quite well. If everybody doesn't have that book, they should have that book and read that chapter. So the probiotics and the microbes that they're cooperating with in the large intestine, very, very important to maintain regularity and that natural detox mechanism. Also, they enhance the immune system, which is another very important benefit. The T cells. There's not time today to get into the details of this, but this is a lecture I give just on how probiotics work with the immune system. You got different types of T cells, and keeping a balance of those so the immune system's in balance so it doesn't work too hard in any direction when it's not necessary. Autoimmune diseases are kept in check. Crohn's disease, for example, is an autoimmune disease where the body attacks itself because the immune system's overreacting. Probiotics modulate the immune system, and there's good many studies on this now that have been published. So basically, regularity, bowel comfort, less gas, less bloating, improved digestion, and more energy are the main reasons you want to take a probiotic. And that's going to all happen if your microbiome's in balance, in a positive balance. And then you get the two big bonus effects of detoxification and immune system enhancement.
So, Randy, what are the major things that upset the proper balance of these microorganisms in our gut?
Good question. Well, in two words, Western diet. A typical Western diet of processed foods, spicy foods, soft drinks, alcohol, out of balance with respect to the important things we should be eating. Contributes to dysbiosis, to your microbiome going out of balance. The worst thing in the world we do, the number one thing we all do, is eat too much sugar. Refined sugar, high fructose corn syrup, of course, is terrible, but even table sugar, sucrose, we eat too much of that. And what that does is it disproportionately feeds the undesirable bacteria more so than the good guys. The good guys like prebiotics. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, how probiotics benefit from prebiotics, which are their special food sources. But number one, Cheryl, we're all eating too much sugar, and that's disproportionating our flora down there. Too much fat. fat, too, will disproportionate the flora, particularly in the colon.
And so, is that like hydrogenated fats or?
Yeah, omega-6s, much vegetable oil, animal fat. Obviously, the essential fatty acids, the omega-3s, they're on the other side of the equation. They're very beneficial to the good flora. So we all need to eat more omega-3s, more refined fish oil, more flaxseed oil, avocados. That's where the omega-3 fats come from. You know that very well, you know. But a disproportionation of too much vegetable oil, omega-6, too much sugar, and too much fat gives the bad guys a leading edge in the microbiome. Now, having said that, probably a good time to get into some special classes of prebiotics. There's two classes of prebiotics.
Well, because we're coming up to a break, so let's save that when we come back, and we'll talk about the specific probiotics and specific products that you're working with that address conditions. But I just want to stay with the things that destroy the gut flora or alter the ratio, because we have to talk about the role of things like antibiotics and taking antibiotics and how they play a role in causing this big problem of dysbiosis that's going on. I'd say it's epidemic, wouldn't you, right now?
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. I was getting a little ahead of the show here. Absolutely. Stress and antibiotics go right in line with having these other dietary problems I just mentioned. If you're on an antibiotic, believe it, you're killing good flora, not just bad flora. And you have to be on a powerful probiotic, and I'm not talking about a cup of yogurt. You got to be on a powerful probiotic that's got tens of billions of CFU. Those are those colony-forming units, how we count the probiotic, per dose, or they're not going to work for you.
I just want to also add, people may not be aware that when they're on steroids, like taking cortisone, that acts as an antibiotic. When you're on the birth control pill or taking these hormones, even with hormone replacement therapy, those hormones act as an antibiotic in the body. So there are other kinds of drugs that we don't associate with having a similar effect as antibiotics do in affecting and altering the gut flora that are very powerful in their own right.
Good point. And where I can tell you exactly where they work. We've got studies on this. When you're on hormones, if a woman is on hormones, even if they're nature identical, you're going to change the characteristics of what's going on in these epithelial cells that line the intestinal tract. And it's those cells specifically, that epithelial layer, that first layer of body cells that touches into the lumen cavity, which is the opening in the intestinal tract, that the probiotics have to cling to, they have to stick to. And remember I said just a few minutes ago that the real probiotics, like the lactobacillus acidophilus cells, can do that. They can stick to those epithelial cells and colonize them, keeping the bad guys away. If they're there, we call it competitive exclusion. If the good guys are there, there's no room for the bad guys. And the hormones you're talking about, not to mention the stress hormones, like cortisol, can dramatically affect that attachment process. So in those situations where you're on a prescription hormone, for example, you definitely need to be on a probiotic.
Yeah, such a good
point. And if you're taking
an
antibiotic, that's a no-brainer. You want to take almost twice the dose of the probiotic when you're on the antibiotic, and then when you finish the antibiotic, whatever it is, whether it's Augmentin, whether it's clarithromycin, doesn't matter. You want to stay on a probiotic daily for at least a month.
And that means, I really want people to hear that, at least a month after you've completed your regimen of taking an antibiotic. You need a really good probiotic. And I think the one other component we need to mention before we take a break that destroys the proper microbiome ratio is the glyphosate, is the the pesticide, the herbicide actually, I think it is, that's found in all genetically modified foods, or Roundup Ready, if you're using that spray, you're taking it in with the food you're growing, it is known to have serious consequences in affecting your microbiome, correct?
At the parts per billion level, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Glyphosate.
Yeah.
It is toxic at the parts per billion level.
Parts per billion, well, yeah. So people need to understand why GMO foods are such a disaster to our environment, inner environment and outer environment. So, okay, well, this is a good time to take a break because then we can go into more of your suggested protocols to help address a lot of the conditions that
we
are
going
on.
We want to talk about what characteristics, how do you buy a probiotic? What do you look for? And then what can you eat to help those probiotics do even better? What prebiotic foods can you eat that's going to help harmonize this whole thing?
Okay, great information ahead. So everyone stay tuned. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and my guest today is one of the pioneers in the world of probiotics, Randy Perupkin, and an expert on our gut health, and replenishing our microbiome. So stay tuned. Lots of really important information coming your way.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
This is Mike Fader. Let me tell you about PRN.FM. It's a whole new world of broadcasting. PRN has absolutely no question the best political and economic shows on the radio. Plus, PRN tops every other station in its health and wellness program. Cooking, music, book reviews, sex advice, you name it, we have it. I'm going to tell you this one time. You need to listen to our programming, okay? All right? Don't make me come down here.
Hi, this is Tony Hendra.
And Jeff Chrysler.
Of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
On PRN.
Your source for organic,
gluten-free,
sustainable
satire.
This is journalist Dave Lindorf. I'll be hosting the show This Can't Be Happening each Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM. Because we know it is happening, each week's program will feature some issue that's been getting ignored or misreported, like Social Security, climate change, military spending, or the government's destruction of the Internet. Please join me at This Can't Be Happening on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and today we have Randy Perupkin, who has been exploring and pioneering the world of probiotics, microbiome, developing the best products for the past 40 years, and he is sharing his wealth of knowledge and his wisdom with us today. So, Randy, this is such an important conversation, and you're doing such a great job at guiding us through this world. But before we do look at ways to, you know, nourish and feed our microbiome, can we just talk a little bit about all the discoveries that are going on now, looking at the impact of a healthy microbiome to our physical, emotional, and mental, and dare say spiritual selves, and why it's so important to really create and heal, create a healthy microbiome, support a healthy microbiome, and heal one that is out of balance. So, yeah, let's spend a little bit talking about all of the impacts of our microbiome that never really was appreciated in the past.
Sure. Well, one of the main ones just recently is how the microbiome influences brain health, you know, depression, anxiety, possibly even Alzheimer's, which was truly amazing to us microbiologists and biochemists. You know, what goes on in that intestinal tract, you can imagine, with hundreds of trillions of microorganisms, many we don't even know their names, is largely unknown. But with the new techniques I was discussing, we have an ability now to learn a lot more. Here's in general what's happening. When you've got dysbiosis, even if it's just subclinical dysbiosis, where the bad guys outnumber the good guys, they're producing toxins. They're producing metabolites. Some of these get absorbed into the bloodstream. Some of those that get absorbed into the bloodstream can cross what we call the blood-brain barrier, where they can actually get into the brain cells and cause toxic effects such as depression, anxiety. And they know this now from animal studies, that certain strains of Clostridia bacteria, for example, can produce toxins which, when absorbed across the blood-brain barrier, can cause total depression in an animal. We're just starting to see how that links now to humans. And energy metabolism, another area that we weren't as aware of as we are now. If you've got the wrong flora growing in your intestinal tract, come 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're out of steam. You're not moving around too fast. Hmm. The bugs are wasting your energy. Probiotics don't do that. The right probiotic organisms, like I mentioned earlier, Lactobacillus paracasei, Lactobacillus acidophilus, Lactobacillus rhamnosus are the good lactobacilli, and the Bifidobacterium lactis and Bifidobacterium bifidum for the large intestine are the good probiotics. And they've got other relatives, but those are the big ones. They are not at all antagonistic to the human body. They are totally complementary. And, you know, a young baby, when a baby's born, if the mother's taken care of herself and if she's been nursing and eating a proper diet, lactobacillus are going to be the first type of bacteria to colonize the baby's small intestine, and bifidobacteria are going to show up first in the baby's colon. If the mother didn't take care of herself, or if you got a cesarean birth, the mother smokes or drinks, ate improper foods, that baby winds up with E. coli starting in the small intestine, and a whole gamish of the wrong bacteria, like Clostridia, in the colon.
And I have to say, I see this a lot with babies that are born cesarean. They're very vulnerable to having colic. They're very vulnerable to eczema, which are all symptoms and indications that there is a, they have been inoculated with the wrong microbiome from birth.
Yep. And it's very difficult to correct that. Of course, taking strong probiotics on a regular basis can do it. But it's very hard to correct that situation once it starts in the wrong direction.
Mm. Yeah, you know, there's a new process or a new approach to children who are born with cesarean births, which you may have heard of, called seeding. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Approach. So what they do is, you know, with midwives, if a mother is having to give birth through a cesarean procedure, then you're not getting the inoculation, which happens in the vaginal tract, right? This is where the baby gets inoculated with these healthy microorganisms. It begins there. So what they do is they swab the vaginal tract, and then they put a cloth over the baby, and like they you know, wash, in a sense, the baby with that cloth that has the microorganisms in it. So that baby gets the same exposure as if it were going down the vaginal tract, and helps to create a healthy microbiome in those cesarean children, which I think is really a brilliant idea,
a
technique. And, you know, I just got a book to review, which I have to say this book just drove me crazy, because it's written by an OBGYN who was saying more women who are giving birth should be in the medical system. And I'm going, no, we don't want the medical model to take over natural childbirth, because we just have more interventions that way. And she was poo-pooing this whole concept of the microbiome and seeding and how important it is for cesarean children to have exposure to the healthy gut flora. So I think this is a big topic that is being introduced out there into the world and having met so many cesarean children who have been plagued with gut issues their whole life or allergies, this really is an important topic that everyone needs to know about, especially because we have a high incidence of cesarean births right now.
Yes.
So people who are choosing that or whether they have to do that, it's really important to understand how to prepare your baby.
You've given me an idea here that when I talk to my research associates, there might be a way that we could even enhance what you just explained by having a mist, you know, doing what you said, but also misting the cloth with certain lactobacilli that we know are indigenous to the vagina, just to make sure they're there, you know.
Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic? That would be brilliant, Randy. That would be so needed. That can make such a difference.
Yes, thank
so
you.
Many
that's something
lives.
I'll look into.
Okay. Well, let's go. It's such a fascinating topic. We can go in so many directions, but I really want people to know in this world of probiotics, when we talk about, you know, the CFUs, what that term means, when people go, oh, there's 10 billion in my product, is that good? Is that a lot? Or what does that mean? And specifically the strains that we need to be addressing if we have or suspect we have something like the small intestinal bacterial
sure.
overgrowth or constipation or candida or all these things. What's
sure.
going to be the most effective strain or strains of probiotics that we need to be taking?
Sure, let me go right into that. Well, one thing, you know, at Master Supplements here, we've got, we've been doing this for 14 years. We've got 17 U.S. patents that have been issued on our formulas. We started this whole thing with doctors like yourself, and we're still big in the doctor community. We're big in autism and Lyme disease. It was only 7-8 years ago that we started in the retail market. But we've got three probiotic products, Theralac, True Flora, and True Bifido, which is the newest one for the colon. But Theralac is our franchise product. It's been around 14 years. We've helped a lot of people with it. That's Theralac, and the website is just thatname.com. And it's got five strains. It's got three strains of lactobacillus and two strains of bifidobacteria. And it's the three that I mentioned, the rhamnosus, the acidophilus, and the paracaceae for the lactobacilli, and two strains of bifidobacterium lactis. All have been clinically studied. All show positive benefits without any harm. And we're talking about 30 billion CFU, colony-forming units, that's how we count them on a Petri dish, per capsule. And the typical dose for Theralac, which is always where you want to start, is one a day for 2 weeks. That's the loading dose. And then you can back off. If you're feeling good, you're regular, you got more energy, you can back off to two a week and save money. You can stay on the one a day as long as you need to because everybody's different. One a day until your symptoms have improved, and then go on the economic maintenance dose. We're the only ones that can really talking about a maintenance dose like that because of the patents. And what do the patents cover? Two major things. Acid-proof delivery. We got to make sure these probiotic strains get through the stomach alive. Many of them die in the stomach because it has a low pH. And that we have the right prebiotic present. Remember, a special food for probiotics called Lactostim, which gets them colonizing quickly when they get where they're going. Most of this probiotic activity is in the ileum, which is the third section of the small intestine, and the upper colon. About 90% of your microbiome is in that area. So that's Theralac. So when you're shopping for a probiotic, is it a multi-strain probiotic? It should have somewhere between 3 and 6, not too many more strains. Too many products have 10, 15 strains, and these guys compete with each other because they're eating the same resources, the same prebiotics. So multi-strain, yes, but not too many. Strength, at least 10 billion CFU. And this has been well documented by studies all over the world, particularly in Europe. If you don't have 10 billion CFU per dose, per capsule, you're going to be too weak. Up to 30 billion is very good as well. And then the delivery and the prebiotic stimulation. That's what you want to look for. And are they guaranteed through expiration? not at time of manufacture. Are they in glass bottles? Probiotics should be in glass bottles. They should be in a refrigerated section of the health food store, not at room temperature. Even though some claim that they've got room temperature stability, these are perishable items. We wouldn't put a head of lettuce at room temperature. So
even products that say they're stabilized, you don't believe they are, or they won't last.
They're stabilized,
they can't guarantee their effectiveness.
To the extent that you can find a colony on a Petri dish, but the viability of a probiotic goes way beyond just being able to measure that it grows on a Petri dish as a colony. It has to be able to colonize and produce lactic acid. We call that activity. And by the way, we were just granted 3 recent patents that allow us to put a QR code right on the probiotic bottle, which allows a customer to scan it with their smartphone and see the analysis, the purity, and the identity of that specific lot number right on the shelf in the retail store or in the doctor's office. They were just recently granted to Master Supplements.
I think it's really important. These patents are very impressive to me because getting a probiotic into the body through the stomach acid into the places where they need to be in a condition that they can then become alive and thrive is what you have specialized in and what really is the critical factor of probiotics. There's so much more to this probiotic story than just seeing, you know, 10 billion colony-forming units or 10, 20. There's more that you need to know about your probiotic to make sure it's doing the job or you're wasting your money.
Yep. And then the three, just to finish on this, now we'll get into the nutrition. So the True Flora and the True Bifido are partners to the Theralac. They're also Theralac products. The True Flora has more strength in the small intestine. The True Bifido has more strength in the colon. So let's say you have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or Candida, a yeast infection in the small intestine. Nothing's better than True Flora at truflora.com. If you have an issue in your colon, any kind of a colitis issue in the colon, True Bifido, TRUBIFIDO, is the one of choice. But they can always be
constipation. Would True Bifido be better for constipation if someone is chronically constipated?
You know, True Flora is a little stronger for constipation, and True Bifido is a little stronger for loose stools.
Uh huh. Okay.
You know, everything's. They all have the same general effect of balancing the microbiome, because all those conditions you just mentioned are a microbiome out of balance. But if you're chronically constipated or you've had trouble with constipation, True Flora is the one you want to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Just the opposite, if you've got loose stools or diarrhea on a more or less regular basis, True Bifido. But Theralac can be used in either case because it's got attributes of both. It works throughout the intestinal system. So if you're in doubt, you always start with Theralac, TheraLac.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Feed these things? Because all this good stuff, even though we've got these good patented products, if we're not eating the right diet, we're not getting our money's worth out of them. So if you'd like to have a drink or two, a glass of wine, I know I like to. You want to separate that from your probiotics by 3 hours. Same way with antibiotics. If you're taking an antibiotic, you need to take a probiotic, but not at the same exact time. At least 3 hours separation before or after you take the antibiotic. Now, there's certain foods, we talk about prebiotics. There is one in the Theralac and True Flora formulas called lactostim, but beyond that, you need to have more prebiotics in your diet. There's two major categories of prebiotics, inulin-containing and arabinogalactan-containing. That's a big word, sorry, just the way it is. Inulin is found in onions, asparagus, garlic, Jerusalem artichoke, big source, bananas, pears, apples. So if you're and it works up higher. If you're going to take an inulin food-containing food, like you're eating a banana, or a pear, you're going to stimulate more of the lactobacilli in the small intestine than you are the bifidobacteria in the colon, although there's overlap. Nothing's 100%. The arabinoglactan foods, onions are in both categories, carrots, tomatoes, radishes, kiwi, and turmeric, probably the most important spice you could use at any time, anywhere, is turmeric. And, of course, curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric. Those are arabinoglactan foods, and they work deeper in the intestinal tract. So they're going to enhance more of the bifidobacteria and Bacteroides organisms in the colon. Like I said, nothing's 100%. There's overlap both ways. But the tendency, the inulin foods, onions, asparagus, garlic, Jerusalem artichoke, bananas, pears, apples, help you up high. The arabinoglactan foods, onions, carrots, tomatoes, radishes, turmeric, kiwi, help you down low. You take that with an effective probiotic such as the Theralac or its partners, Truflora and Trubifo, you're going to balance your microbiome better than anybody else, I can assure you.
Yeah, that's great information. I love that. What about the role of fiber and fiber supplements and as a prebiotic?
Well, actually, these are fiber. Arabinoglactans and inulin are soluble fibers, but I'm glad you asked that because there's two kinds of fiber in this world, soluble and insoluble. If you eat a bran muffin, that's the insoluble fiber. That's good for you. It's a bulking agent. It adds quantity to your intestinal tract, but it doesn't feed the probiotics. It's the soluble fibers that feed the probiotics that are the premium prebiotics, and those are the inulins and the arabinoglactans.
So that's why eating those foods and understanding the role of soluble fiber is a critical piece of this probiotic story, because they're the foods that helps those probiotics to thrive.
Absolutely. And they don't help the bad guys. The bad guys like free sugar.
Yeah.
That's what we start talking about.
Yeah.
You just got to eat less sugar.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you mentioned, because I didn't explain initially that the inulin is a soluble fiber in the foods I mentioned there, and the arabinoglactan is a different type of soluble fiber.
So that's where fresh fruits, fresh vegetables are so important, not just for the nutritional content, because of their fiber content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're the prebiotics that feed the probiotics. And if you can imagine, you're just eating pizza and burgers and beer, drinking beer, and not that I don't do that once in a while, but I mean, those are not the foods that are helping your probiotics.
Exactly. So the good news is that when you take the right probiotics, and I believe they should be part of a foundational protocol. We need to be taking them on an ongoing basis. However, I mean, when we get into the maintenance phase, at least with the Master Supplements products, I like the fact that you can take two a week and you're looking after yourself. So it becomes really economical when you think about it. I think a bottle then lasts 4 months, which is great. I always like to provide economy for my patients. So, but the thought that I really want to get across to people is that this is a foundational part of your nutritional protocol. You know, it should always be with you until we know otherwise for the rest of your life, right?
For the rest of your life. And if you're on that maintenance program and then you eat something, you've gone to a party, eat something you don't normally eat, and you feel a little bit different down below, you can always go back to one a day until those symptoms go away and then come back to the maintenance dose. Probiotics are one of the core supplements. With all the nutritionists and that I work with, a good multivitamin, a good omega-3 distilled fish oil, and a good probiotic, it's got to be a core. I don't care how healthy you are, you got to take those. And for people that need to add, there's three other things. We call that core one, probiotics, multis, and omega-3. Core two is magnesium, CoQ10, and vitamin C.
And vitamin D.
Anybody over 40 needs to be on the core two as well, magnesium, CoQ10, and vitamin C.
Yes, but I throw vitamin D in there, Randy.
Probiotics are going to help the absorption of those core supplements. Not that that's the only supplements you should be taking. I take curcumin every day. But these are the cores, and then you take additional supplements for your special issues.
And I do want to just say, I think vitamin D is a core supplement. Everyone is deficient in vitamin D.
Thank you. That should be in the core too, vitamin D3.
Yeah, it has so many benefits. For so many conditions, including switching on all your protective genes.
I agree 100%.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, well, we have just a few minutes left. Is there anything that we didn't get to that you think is important, Randy, or you just want to wrap up?
Well, just looking over from the last time we had a phone conversation, one thing we didn't mention was food allergies. That another benefit of taking probiotics is there's been studies on the bifidobacteria strains that are in Theralac and Trubifido that will literally treat atopic dermatitis, eczema in children, for example. And one study that was done, there were 50 children, they were 7 to 24 months old. They were on 3 capsules, which would have been 90 billion CFU, and had significantly more IL-10, which is a calming cytokine that's made by the T regulatory cells.
Yes, I know that one well. In my nutrigenomic testing, anti-inflammatory cytokine, right?
So particularly bifidobacteria are extremely anti-inflammatory, and most of your conditions in the colon, when they get exacerbated, are inflammatory, start with inflammation.
Well, so does that mean if you're dealing with autoimmune conditions, taking a supplement with high bifido, like the Trubifido product, would really be the recommended type of probiotic to take?
Yeah, and you have the doctor measure your CRP, your C-reactive protein.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mine went from, several years ago, I was running at over 2. You definitely want to be under 3.
Oh.
I'm at 0.5 right now. I take Trubifido. I alternate taking those weekly with the Theralac the next week.
So,
Randy,
my CRP
is 0.5.
Oh, well, we have to really bring this to a conclusion because the music's playing and it's such a fascinating topic. So, Randy Porupkin, thank you so much. And if people want to order these products, go to whatwomenmustknow.com. My online store has them there. And thank you, Randy, and thank you to all my listeners. Always honor the wisdom of your feminine self.
You're welcome.
Bye for now.
Hope we've helped some people.
Bye now.